Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good evening. Good evening, Carpenter Shop. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to sing, to worship, to laugh. Can you all stand and worship with us?
More than enough for me,
Jesus.
Oh, come on, that's good for us, but is Jesus really all you need this evening? Thank you, Lord. Can we lift our hands all over this room? And this is a sign of worship to a God who will never fail, a God who we can build our foundation on, we can build our lives on, because he's faithful, because he's consistent, because he will never leave nor forsake us. Thank you, Jesus. Christ is my firm foundation.
Yeah.
The rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. And he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. And so why would he fail now? He won't. That's a moment for us to rejoice about. That he won't fail us nor leave us. You are faithful, Lord. You are. Yes, you are, God. Oh,
I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. Cause I build my life on Jesus.
And it's great that in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. But I just think somebody in this room needs to be reminded that the same God who's kept you all this time, the same God that's been before you is the same God that's still before you. The Bible tells us that he is not only before us, but he's behind us, he's beside us, he's all around us. So I know the rain might come, I know the wind may blow, but there is a firm foundation. There is a solid rock. There is something you can still build faith on. There's something you can still build hope on. So all over this room, whoever it is, whatever it is you might stand in need of, I encourage you that the firm foundation, the chief cornerstone, the one that the builders rejected, he is still available and his presence is still here. Cause you're gonna make it through. Sing rain came. The wind might blow.
My house was built on.
My house was built. I am safe. With you, Jesus. I'm gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it.
One more time, rain. I hear the Lord saying, you're gonna make it, you're gonna make it. Yes, Lord. I'm gonna make it through.
I'm gonna make it.
Sing, I'm gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it.
Cause I'm standing strong on you.
I'm standing strong on
you. So I'm gonna make it through.
I'm gonna make it.
Cause my house was built on you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. I'm glad I put my faith. Cause I put my faith in Jesus. Cause he'll never leave. Yes, I put my faith in Jesus. We put our faith in you, Lord. Cause I put my faith in
Jesus.
That's where your faith can rest. One more time, guys, can we just sing that?
I put my faith in Jesus.
We put our faith in you, Jesus, the one who sits high and looks low.
I put my faith in Jesus.
We build our lives on you. We put our hope on you.
I build my faith.
Faithful through generations. So why would he fail now?
Why would he fail now?
One time, just say, he won't. Oh no, see, that's a good clap for us, but if you really believe that Jesus won't fail, that he'll never fail, he doesn't know how to fail, it's impossible for him to fail. He will never fail. He will never fail. Oh, I feel that for somebody. He will never fail. I know life tries to convince you he might, but he will never fail. It's not in his nature. It's not in his character. He can't fail. He won't fail. He'll never fail. He won't 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 fail. If you leave with nothing else tonight, he won't fail. 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 Corey, how do you know? Because I've seen him do it. I've seen him come through. I've seen him wipe teeth. Because I put my faith in Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus. I promise he'll never let you down. Cause I build my faith on Jesus. We put our faith on the Most High God. Oh. We build our faith on you, Lord. Cause you never let us down. You're faithful through every season. Even in the darkness, you're faithful. In the wilderness, you're faithful. In the confusion, you're faithful, God, you are. You're faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
Well, come on, rejoice in the God who does not fail, y'all. He doesn't fail. Hallelujah. How many of you remember sitting on your grandma's knee as a kid? Remember reading about that little engine that said this, I think I can, I think I... Come on, somebody say, I can. You know, why? Because he did. Come on. I can because he did. Amen. I just sent this text to a broken brother in Raleigh yesterday. My friend, you must keep moving forward, okay? I know sometimes it feels like one step forward, help me here, two steps back. But because of what he did on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. And because of what he did, you and I can trust that he's not gonna fail you. Wherever you find yourself, he's not gonna fail you. I think I can, I know I can. I did. Amen. Come on, one more time for the Lord tonight. You can be seated in his presence. Why don't you high five two or three people as you're going down tonight and say, welcome to the comedy night. Amen. Welcome to the comedy night. Come on, give it up for the worship team who led us in worship tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, pastors. I see some pastors' faces here. If you're a pastor, just kind of spring up in your seat. Right here, anybody else? I see Pastor Sandy, Pastor John Engler, Pastor Mike Blow, Pastor Randy Hughes. Anybody else? Don't let me miss anybody. Praise the Lord. So glad you're here. People here from the city on the rise. Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Come on, y'all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Columbia, North Carolina. Amen. The city on the rise. Columbia, North Carolina. Amen. Praise God. We're glad you're here. Listen, we're not going to waste any time tonight. We came here to laugh because laughter does good like a medicine. No, come on. Laughter is the medicine. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Would you give a warm Ahoskie welcome to my friend, Pastor Evangelist Michael Rowan.
Come on, man. Amen, amen. Keep it going for Jesus, everybody in the house. Amen, amen. Well, it is so good to be with you. How many have an Instagram? Say amen. All right, cool. All right, throw it up there. Just get out your cell phones right now. That's my Instagram, and that is your daily source of inspiration, motivation. A lot of times we used to put some humor on there, but people ask me all the time, what is the best way to keep in touch with you? And that is it right there, Rev Michael Rowan on Instagram. You can also go to michaelrowanministries.com. That is that. Several of you have asked about some of our resources. I'm going to cover that. But can I say a real quick testimony, a little praise report? 35 children sponsored today. Come on, make some noise for that. Come on now, somebody. 35 kids from all over the world. And so how cool was it that this church touched the world and you didn't have to leave a Ahoskie? So thank you to the 35 individuals and families that said, I'm going to change the life of a child. This means so much to us. Out on the table, we have all of our, that's right, I said it, paraphernalia. If you don't know what that's right, I said it is, follow me on Instagram and it will become painfully clear. Every day I put up a that's right, I said it. How many are just like over and done with the offended culture we're in? Totally offended. And so I make it a point to offend at least one person every day. It brings me incredible joy. And so that's where that's right, I said it came from. We have four discs out there, and they are the best of the best of the best. We have two on CD, two on DVD. And we have even a USB out there. If you're not familiar with CD, there's the DVD. There's those round things, and you put them in the thing, and they play. But anyway, I have two messages out there, and they are the top messages in my ministry. One is called Who's Holding the Whip? This is probably one of the most dramatic and graphic presentations on the crucifixion of Christ that you will ever encounter. We're actually doing the two-night finale in Ohio, just right outside of Dayton, Ohio. We're doing it on Good Friday and Saturday night. We've been doing this illustrated message for about 35 years. Pastor Kilpatrick came to me and said, Michael, he said, I'm tired of these little, these little passion play Easter Jesuses that did not really portray what he went through. And so in this illustrated message, we talk about not just from an emotional standpoint or a psychological standpoint, but we talk about from a doctor's perspective, physically, anatomically, what did the body of Christ endure in those final moments? I will caution you, if you have young children, it is extremely graphic and very, very gory. There's an actual scourging in the message. We've had people run for the doors, Pastor. We've had people scream. But it is a power. It's like the Passion of the Christ, but live on stage. That's out there. And then we have What Chair Are You Sitting In?, which is the best message I've ever preached in my natural born life. Now, I went to Vietnam. Vietnam is still a communist country. You cannot preach the gospel. You cannot wear Christian paraphernalia. You can't pass out tracts. How many are thankful that we can serve Jesus in freedom here in the United States of America? Man, we're free. We're free to worship. And I don't know how much longer that's going to be, but we're free from right now. No one's going to bust in here tonight, take away your Bible, or lock you up. But I have went and broken bread with pastors that literally are all in underground churches and put their lives on the line each and every week. Now, can I say the kindness and the hospitality that I've received since I've been here in Ahoski has been amazing. Pastor, they got me a car. They got me a place to stay. They fed me. They gave me, everybody's been so wonderful, hugging, loving on me. Can I tell you what they gave me there before I spoke? An escape route. You think I'm playing. We went to Vietnam to hold a conference for 75 pastors all in underground churches. And Pastor, they literally brought a map to me before the service and said, now, Pastor, if everything goes wrong, here's where we'll take you. And I thought they were joking. Friends, they weren't joking, because the next 48 hours of my life changed my life forever. Because while I was preaching, the secret police found out that we were there. They busted into the room. They shoved me under a stage to hide me. And they drug a dozen pastors out and beat them within a bloody inch of their life and put them all in jail that night. They shoved me down a bunch of hallways out into an alley. A van rolled up. The door rolled open. They shoved me in the van. Curtains came down both sides. And for 48 hours, I ran from the police. We got trapped on an island out in the middle of the South China Sea. And the police were walking around with photos asking for the white people. Now, I'm 6'2" and white. Everybody over there is like 4 feet tall and dark. You think I'm playing? When you're in China, stuck on an island, and cops are asking for the white folks, how many know your prayer life will kick into overdrive real fast? I busted into tongues like a weed eater. I was like, da-da-da-da-da-da. I just wanted to get out of there. But I met a man by the name of Brother Paul I, who spent over 20 years of his life in prison for preaching the gospel. They put him in one stint for almost 3 years in a box. You say, you mean a cell? No, I mean a box. You say, you mean solitary? No, I mean they put him in a box that was 4 feet tall, 4 feet wide, 6 feet long. There was a dirt floor with a hole cut in the corner for him to defecate in. He had a 3-inch hole, and three times a day they would lower down a bowl of dirty water and dirty rice, and he rotted in there for almost 3 years. He came to me and he said, Brother Michael, but here's what God did. He got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. He started putting churches all over Vietnam. And he came to me and said, Pastor, he said, it's too volatile. We're going to have to get you on a little boat. We're going to take you back to Korea and fly you home. You'll have to come back another day. And right before I left, a young lady by the name of Sister Ha, just a precious pastor. She couldn't have been 80, 90 pounds of nothing, just tiny. And she grabbed my hands and threw them on her shoulders and put her hands on my shoulders. She started to tremble. She said, pray, pray, pray. And I looked at the missionary and I said, oh, she wants me to pray for her, right? She wants me to lay hands on her, right? He just starts laughing. He goes, she wants to pray for you. I'm like, well, she's a little girl. He said, that little girl pastors 63 churches of over 10,000 people all over Vietnam. I said, you're kidding me. They said, Pastor, she's got a little moped, like a scooter. He said, she puts a gallon of gas in it every day and has a little milk crate that she has bungee corded on the back. And she takes that little scooter from village to village, takes the milk crate, puts it down, stands up on top of it, starts preaching the gospel. They'll bring the sick and the dying to her, and they'll tell her, if your God can heal this sick person right now in front of all of us, then we'll serve your God. He said, with the faith of 10,000, she'll lay hands on her. He says, she's seen blind eyes pop open, leprosy fall off of people's faces. Get this. They brought a guy to her on a cot that had no leg. She anointed him, and the leg and foot grew out in front of the whole town. The whole town converted to Christianity. They called the cops to lock her up. In handcuffs in a squad car, she laughed all the way to jail. Do you want to know why? In Vietnam, you can't become an ordained minister till you're thrown in jail. She knew that's the last thing she needed to be ordained, so she laughed all the way there. When they got her there, they instructed 18 lesbians to come in and rape and molest her. She got all 18 saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, so I could preach that right now. Woo! So, Pastor, this is recorded live from the Brownsville Revival. It's in the Pensacola Civic Center in Pensacola, Florida. 5,000 people this night collapsed on the ground. Friends, we were picking people up and carrying them across the street. They were wheeling people in wheelchairs that were out under the power of the Holy Ghost. We were carrying them across the streets back to the hotel rooms. It was one of the greatest God moments I've ever been a part of. They were laying all over the parking lot. And this is 24 years old. It's recorded from 2000. And I have had my board and my team say, Pastor, you've got to update that. Have you ever been a part of a move of God so powerful that you just thought, that'll never happen again? And so we left it exactly the way that it happened that night 24 years ago. I look like I'm like 15 years old in this DVD, but I promise you, this is pop it in your DVD player, get some Kleenex, and get ready to just get wrecked. So that's out there. Pastor, can I hand you these? And then we got a couple of USBs out there that have 7 sermons on them. The good news is I have 2 of those USBs. The bad news is I only have 2 of those USBs. There's only 2, and there are 7 of our top messages. These discs, folks, are normally $25 a piece, but tonight and tonight only, $24.99, and it's very rare that we do that. They really are $25. And there really are 4 of them, and that's $100, so we can't do that. So tonight we are doing what I call the family reunion special. If you buy all 4 discs tonight, you get it half off. $50 gets you all 4. You get 2 of them for free. We call it the family reunion special because how many know for every normal family member you have one that's half off? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. So the family reunion special is out there. Take the hand of the person next to you, will you? And everybody, all the pastors and guests and all of Carpenter Shop, will you pray with me? Lift your voice. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight. I thank you for your power and your presence in this room. Father, I thank you that as we talked about why we were created today and what our passion is, Father, I thank you for that in equipping and in touching the church today. And Lord, tonight, as we laugh, let us learn. But Father, as we leave and walk out, let us know that we know we've been in the presence of an almighty God. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, put your hands together and make some noise in the house. Come on. Like a Tar Heel or an NC State or a Duke Blue Devil. Come on. All right. Well, as Kim Kardashian said to her last man, I won't keep you long, but I just want to talk to you tonight about holiness. Will you shout that out? 1, 2, 3. Come on, with attitude. 1, 2, 3. How many of you grew up in church? Wave at me real quick if you grew up in church. Okay, that's cool. How many of you didn't? That's cool, too. Okay, a few heathens. No, I'm just kidding. How many of you grew up in a Pentecostal church? Wave at me. Okay, that's right. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. You're like, ooh, yeah, me too. No, I mean I grew up in a snot-blowing, hanky-throwing, pulpit-pounding, people shaking, frothing at the mouth kind of church. No, in my church growing up, we had something called a runaway service. How many know what that is? A runaway service. You all know what I'm talking about. You Pentecostals know that's when the power of God starts moving so mightily that the preacher doesn't even get to preach. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I've been in those services, Pastor. I've had my assistant sitting next to me and people running, Jericho marching, rolling around, shaking, screaming. I've looked many times over my assistant and said, I ain't ever getting up there. I ain't ever getting the mic. God just kind of takes over. It's a runaway service. Now, in my church growing up, there were little indicators you were going to have a runaway service. There were little telltale signs it was going to go down. The funniest part is, if you missed that Sunday, when you came back the next Sunday, everybody make you feel bad for missing that day. Were you here last week? No, what happened? It was crazy. Preacher didn't get to preach. I know, but what happened? I don't know. Preacher didn't get to preach. You're like, I know, but what took place? I don't know. We were running, shouting, clapping. Preacher didn't get to preach. Now, these little telltale signs, they were little indicators it was going to go down. We had a lady in our church. Her name was Eleanor. Eleanor was big bone. Eleanor was kind of beefy. Okay, Eleanor's big, okay? Like, the back of her neck looked like a pack of hot dogs. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm serious. We couldn't even lift her up in prayer. You know what I'm saying? She put on a pair of guest jeans and an answer popped out. Okay, so you could always tell the Holy Ghost was moving because Eleanor would get to jerks. She'd be like, just like that. It always started out as a tremor with singing. Holy Ghost is moving. God's moving. People running, shouting, clapping. It started out with a tremor. She'd be like, it would go into a, just like that. We had another lady, her name was Debbie, and Debbie's hand would just kind of flutter like this. Her hand would just kind of flutter like this. And then we had another lady, her name was Bessie Brock. Don't make me laugh. She's always in the back. She would go like this. She'd go like this. She'd be like, sound like she's strangling a chihuahua right in the back. My best friend growing up was Catholic. Yeah, you know where this is going. I always wanted to invite my Catholic buddy to church, but I was afraid we'd have a runaway service, and it'd turn him off to Jesus for the rest of his natural born life. But I'd always invite him to church. I'm like, AJ, you need to come to our church, man. He's like, no, come to your church, man. Y'all them Pentecostals. Y'all them tongue talkers. I'm like, you know what? We get a little excited about Jesus, but we are harmless. And we were a Pentecostal church, okay? We had two bowling teams in our church, the Holy Rollers and the Alleluias. I kid you not, even our bowling teams had Pentecostal names. And so he comes to me one day, and he's like, hey, bro, I've been thinking about it. And he said, I decided this Sunday I'm coming to your church, man. And I was like, yay! But then I thought, oh, we could have runaway service. Then I thought, wait a second, my dad's the pastor. I got control over this. I'll go talk to my dad, tell him that next Sunday, calm it down. So I went to church. Hey, Dad. Hey, son. I said, Dad, you remember my Catholic buddy, AJ? He's like, yep. I said, Dad. He decided he's finally coming to church this Sunday. My dad goes, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I said, see that right there. That's what I'm talking about, that right there. He said, what? I said, then praise the Lord, hallelujah. I said, you can't do that, Dad. I said, he's Catholic. I said, he don't roll the way Pentecostals roll, bro. I said, hit for him, churches, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up. He goes into a room, slides over a window, kisses a bee, does a quick one of these, takes a shot, calls it a day. I said, Dad, can we just have a normal one this Sunday? Let's just have a normal, vanilla, generic service. Let's make it as boring as possible. Let's just make it vanilla. My dad's like, what do you mean? I said, I don't know. You know, tell everybody, like, start out with something funny. Tell everybody to hold up their Bible, blink a lot. Tell everybody they're a winner. I said, just keep it really just kind of vanilla. My dad's like, yeah, no problem. My dad didn't hear a word I said. So Sunday rolls around, and my friend walks in. He's already on guard walking in the doors. He's already on guard because he's never been to a Pentecostal church. So the first song starts. We all know the first song don't count. No one's even in there yet, right? The first song of every church service ought to be like, hey, everybody, we started, come on in, because no one cares. Everybody's out there taking a TT, dropping off their demon. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it doesn't count. The first one's like wash. And so the first song starts. Y'all, one person just gently lifted their hand like this. My friend's like, what are they doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? And I thought, man, if that freaked him out, we're in some big trouble. Big trouble. How many know there's also certain songs that you can sing that lend themselves to a runaway service? How many know there's little tunes, if you're not careful and you crank them out, it's going to get lit. Now, if you're singing something like In the Garden, and he walks with me and he talks with me, it's not going down. If you're singing something like Great is Thy Faithfulness or Amazing Grace, they're incredible spirituals, but it's probably not going to get lit. But I can tell you right now, you start cranking out tunes like I went to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from me, it might get nuts. Now, our worship leader, he wasn't tiny either. His blood type was Nutella, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm serious. I mean, he beeped when he backed up, you know what I'm saying? So our worship leader's name is Galen. You can always tell how long you're going to be in church by how much Galen sweat. If he sweat through his tie, noon. If he sweat through his jacket, 1:45. If he had sweat down to his drawers, you could be there all day long. So he's singing and sweating and singing and sweating and singing and sweating. All of a sudden, right in the middle of his song, he stops and pulls out a hanky and starts waving it around. I knew we were in trouble right there. He got his hanky. He's like, you know what? He goes, you know what? He said, the enemy has been to some of y'all's camps. I was like, oh, God, no, he hadn't been to my camp. He hasn't been to my camp at all. He's like, the enemy's been to some of y'all's camps. He said, I think it's about time we go back to the enemy's camp. We take back. We just stole from us. So he just busts out. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back. Yeah, I took back. Oh, I took back. And the whole crowd's like, bam, bam, bam. And out of my peripheral, I see, Eleanor getting the jerks. I'm trying to block my Catholic buddy from seeing Eleanor get to jerks. Eleanor walks right over in front of my Catholic buddy and just busts out.
I looked at my friend, I was like, she's an epileptic, she's having a seizure. Y'all think I'm playing. I told my friend she was an epileptic, and she didn't take her pills, and therefore she was having a seizure. And he bought it. About the time I put out that fire, I heard, I was like, it's over. Look at somebody and say, that ain't holiness. You ever notice there's a language we use in church? It's so annoying. I call it Christianese. It's that churchy lingo. You know what I'm saying? It's the churchy lingo, the church kind of language that we use in church with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Like even that right there, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that's churchy lingo. We know it's not the same thing, right? Unless you're in Arkansas. But what I'm saying is, when I say our brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm talking about the family of God, right? And so, but we think that we can take those language and words out in the secular world. Can I tell you, if you use your Christian lingo out in the real world, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. Like we say, I'm sanctified. Well, good for you. But you don't go to the dry cleaner and say, I'm sanctified. I can't understand that. We say, I'm on fire for God. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Man, did you hear about Bill? Bill, man, he came to church, got right with God. Brother, that brother's on fire. Hey, man, did you hear about Sheila? Sheila came, got back in church. She's in her Bible. Man, she's in a prayer group all the time. That woman, she's on fire for God. You don't go checking out of Walmart. Hi, I'm on fire. What? I'm on fire for God. Come to our church. We're all on fire. Here's my personal favorite. Hey, come to Carpenter Shop where you could be washed in the blood. You're going to flip somebody out. We all know the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed over 2,000 years ago is still available today. But that's churchy lingo, and we begin to believe the more spiritual terms we throw in our sentences, the more spiritual and holy it makes us appear. Can I give you a news flash? If you have to tell somebody how spiritual you are, chances are you're not. And there is a lie told by the enemy to every self-respecting person in this room. It's subtle. It's deceptive. I don't care. You're the youngest to the oldest, front to the back in this room right now. The devil tells this lie, and it replays itself in countless areas of your life. And this is the lie that the devil started. Man, he started this lie in the Garden of Eden back in the beginning with Adam and Eve, and he's still doing it today. And this is the lie that the enemy will whisper in your ear. Ready? This is what the enemy will say to you. Do it my way. And it'll be more fun. Do it my way, and it'll be more fun. You say, oh, Pastor, our culture's not that bad. Friends, you better wake up and smell the coffee. America's not getting any better. It's getting worse. Look at social media. Look at magazines. Look at billboards. Look at news stations. Look all over the internet. Our culture is shoving all of this nonsense in 2024 in your face. Do it this way. Do it this way. You know what? Do it this way. Do it this way. If it feels good, do it. Live life the way you want to live it. Forget the Bible. Forget the biblical standards and the Word of God, and it's going to be more fun. Well, how many know tonight with a huge amen that couldn't be any further from the truth? Because the God that we serve, He made your life. And the principles and the guidelines that God gives us in His Word are the way for our lives to be the happiest. Now, none of us are perfect. We all slip up, trip up, mess up. None of us are going to, you know, we have bad days. No one's going to run out here tonight and jump out of a phone booth with a cape on. But how many of you believe, sure enough, if you live your life within the biblical standards of the Word of God, how many believe that's the best way to live life? Shout amen. So the truth is then if you violate holiness, you violate happiness. If you violate holiness, you're going to violate happiness. Now, when I say the word holiness, I know some of you got some freaked out images that come up in your head. Because when I was growing up and when I was younger, when I thought of the word holiness, I thought of my grandma. Now, my grandma grew up Church of God. How many know Church of God? Wave at me if you know Church of God. How many? We all know Church of God. Church of God back in the day, man, they didn't play. I'm telling you, man, Church of God back in the day, if it was fun, it was wrong. I'm serious, if it had a little bit of a splash to it, a little bit of a sparkle, a little bit of a pizzazz, that was just unspiritual. Matter of fact, back in the day, a lot of Church of God just had a big banner on the back wall that said, no. Hey, can I watch? No. Can I listen to? No. Can I wear? No. Everything was a sin. I want all the ladies in here to say thank you, Jesus. Ladies, one, two, three. The reason I had you women say thank you, Jesus, is because you've all been delivered. Now, you OGs will know what I'm talking about. You young bucks might not know, but you OGs know what I'm talking about. Back in the day in the Church of God, you didn't cut your hair. You didn't pierce your ears. You didn't wear makeup. Some of you ladies got to wear them wonderful things called culottes or gauchos. As if a big wind came along, pick you up, take you off somewhere you didn't want to go. My mom was married with kids before she got her ears pierced. Can you believe that trash? It's the truth. I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. That's just the way that it was. We know now it's different. Back in the day, it was different. Today, babies come out the womb, 14 gauges. You know what I'm saying? I love your newborn's nose ring. You know what I'm saying? But back in the day, you didn't do that. My mom was married, had kids. But one day, we were in the mall. It was my mom, my dad, me and my sister. That day, my mom was feeling spicy, right? She's feeling a little spicy. I have no idea why I did this. Walk past that Claire's store. It said, today, free ear piercing. My mom's like, you know what? I'm a grown woman, do what I want to do. I'm a grown woman, do what I want. She goes, I'm going to get my ears pierced today. Grown woman, I'm going to get my ears pierced today. She went and got her ears pierced. What my mother didn't know is we were going to see her mother 7 days later. Now, my grandma, who I call Sister Jesus, because my grandma didn't play. How many got a grandma like that? My grandma didn't play. My grandma wouldn't go to Denny's because they serve beer. I'm like, Grandma, you can get some hash browns and eggs. She wouldn't go to the movies. I remember one time making the mistake of asking my grandma if we could go bowling. And I said, hey, let's go bowling. She said, bowling? Oh, no. They're smoking and drinking in there. That's a vile den of iniquity. So my grandma didn't play. Now, you ladies have to help me out. But I guess if you pierce your ears, you can't take out stud, right? Can't take out stud because the hole will close up. My mom didn't know that. We're going to see Sister Jesus, okay? So my mother... I can't make this trash up. My mother put clear fishing line in the holes of her ears under the delusion that we would drive all the way to Georgia and spend a whole 7 days there, and my grandma would never see she got her ears pierced because there's no stud, just clear fishing line. But then she got to tell me not to say nothing. I'm a little kid. We all know little kids are demons. They're going to tell it. So she called me and she's like, Michael, I need to talk to you. I came in, I was like, yeah, Mom. She's like, okay, here it is. Don't you tell your grandma I pierced my ears. I'm like, She's like, no, I'm serious, Michael. You don't tell grandma I pierced my ears. She'll think I'm a prostitute. She'll think I'm a hooker. She'll think I'm a streetwalker. She'll think I'm a Delilah. She'll think I'm a Jezebel. You don't tell grandma I pierced my ears. I'm like, Mom, oh my goodness. Mom, I would never say anything. We drove 16 hours to Georgia. I don't even think my dad had turned off the car. And I went in and I said, hey, Grandma, Mom poked holes in her ears. My grandma was chasing my mom around with a rolling pin. Look at somebody said, that ain't holiness. I spent 15 minutes telling you everything that holiness isn't. Let me tell you what holiness is. Holiness is living out the standard of God in your life on a daily basis. Say it with me, ready? Living out the standard of God in your life on a daily basis. Holiness is just being a reflection of the image of Christ. Holiness is saying, I want my thoughts, that's everything I think. I want my words, that's everything I say. I want my actions, that's everything I do, to be more like Jesus. We're all going to fall short. We're going to slip up. We're going to have bad days. But if you're in this building tonight and you're really serious about living a life of holiness, what you're really saying is, I want to live my life by a standard that a whole lot of people in North Carolina are not willing to commit to. Did you hear what I said? If you're serious about this, if you're really serious about being holy and righteous in 2024, you're saying, I want to live my life by a standard that a whole lot of people in 2024 just don't want to commit to. So if you violate holiness, you violate happiness. Don't turn it on the screen because I don't know what version I'm using, but if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7 is the only scripture I'm going to share tonight. Look at this, man. I see a couple of old school Bibles flipping pages. That's cool. I see a couple of new school Bibles that glow. That's cool. I will say, get you an old school Bible. Can I get an amen? Hard to fight a demon on 4%, isn't it? Can't fight devils on 4%. You can't go into low battery mode and fight a demon.
I had a guy come to my church one time. He's like, Pastor, I was doing my devotions, but I had to stop because my Bible died. There's a problem with that. So whether it's old school and it flips or it's new school and it glows, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 says this. If you do not do what is right, it says sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Wow, that's a powerful scripture. It says if you don't do what's right, how many know none of us do what's right all the time? Don't turn right, talk to myself. I said, none of us do what's right all the time. If you don't do what's right, and that's everyone in this room, because nobody does the right thing 100% of the time. So the scripture is referring to anyone in this room. It says, if you don't do what's right, it says sin is crouching at your door. It doesn't say sin's sitting at your door. It doesn't say sin's leaning up against the door jamb. It doesn't say sin's sleeping at your door. It says sin is crouching. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must what? Master. Come on, you must what? Master it. Let me ask you real quick, how many of you are channel surfers with a remote control? Wave at me if you click around with the clicker. Okay, and the rest of you are lying. Father, for the liars. Bring the liars forward right now in repentance in Jesus' name. Let's say it again because maybe you didn't hear what I said. How many of you, when you're watching TV and the remote control is in your hand, sometimes you'll flip around? Raise your hand. I said, okay, some of you are still lying. I'm going to say it again. How many of you, when you're watching TV, the remote's in your hand, and a commercial comes on, sometimes you'll flip around, wave them at me, that's what I thought! But some of you are still lying. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to let the women off in here tonight, because I'm in a good mood. I'm in a good mood! So I'll let all the women off, but the men, no. If you're in here tonight and you're a dude, you channel surf. There's a chemical that goes off in a dude's head, give a dude a remote control, I dare you. He'll be like, what do we, we just got to do it! What's this? We just have to do it. And of course, my woman says what every woman in here says to her man. Can we watch one program, please? Can we watch one program from the beginning to the end, please, babe? No! Women, back off. That's what the clicker's for. You women need to back off. Men, can I get an amen? Too scared to say it? I got you. That was like, no, bro, she's right here, man. She's right here. Brother, she's right here beside me. I got to sleep with her tonight. She's right here beside me. Ladies, back off. There's a lot of buttons on there, ladies. You got to know what you're doing. There's a lot of buttons on there. You got channel up, channel down, volume up, volume down. You got display, menu, flashback, alternate channel, previous channel. There's a lot of buttons. And of course, my woman's always, can I have it tonight? You had it last night. Can I have it tonight? She can't handle that kind of power. Takes training. Takes discipline. You got to know what you're doing. I'm a channel surfing fool. I watch 27 things at one time. I dare a commercial to come on. I sit there, what, you want some of this? You're like, I don't do it. Yes, you do. I don't click with the clicker. Yes, you do. You're like, I'm a preacher. I don't do it. Yes, you do. You don't think you're a channel surfing fool? Let's have a little quiz. You know you're a channel surfing freak when it's midnight. You've already been around the horn 29 times. But right before you turn it off, something kind of wells up inside says, if I go around one more time, there'll be someone I need to see. I'm like, you're a channel surfing freak when someone else is doing the clicking and you can't stand it. Oh, I hit a vein. They're like, boing, boing, boing. You're like, wait, what was that? And they're like, what, what? No, go back. Oh, just go back. Oh, huh? Just turn it. Just go. Oh. Me, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. My wife's already over there slobbering on her pillow, all twitching. My eyes are all bloodshot. I'm like, I know I need to turn it off. I need to go to bed. I need to turn it off. But I can't. I might miss it. You know there's nothing on in the middle of the night but infomercials anyway. But how many of y'all know at 3 o'clock in the morning, that stuff starts looking pretty good. You're like a knife that cuts through a shoe. I got to get one of those right now so I can cut my shoes. If I order right now, I get four of them and free shipping and the potato curly deal. Has anybody seen that Tony Little? He's got the ponytail and the ball cap. Everybody get the Castell, $49.95. Who is that freak? Have you seen that freak? He's all juiced up, all roided up. Don't even have a neck. It's just like a head on shoulders. And he's always got the ball cap and the ponytail. Here, everybody, get the Gazelle, $49.95, five payments. Then you got a dude with a belly out to here. And he's got a Twinkie all smushed up on his face. And he's got Doritos in his navel. Got a queso dribbling out over here. I'm going to get me one of them Gazelles and get in shape. No, you're not. Quit lying to yourself. Listen, you don't attach something to a door and that right there change your life forever, okay? Now they got that ball. Have you seen a ball? You just kind of roll around on the ball. Roll around on the ball. But you know what my favorite is? That little... Have you seen that? See, it's a Velcro belt. It shocks your belly. They say it's doing like 1,500 sit-ups while you just walk around. Listen, if you bought one of these, don't tell me because I'll punch you in the face. Listen, eat all the ding-dongs you want to. You should just get you a Hershey's IV and just stick it straight in your veins. What you should do is get 17 Twix and chase it down with a payday. Who cares? It works on four AA batteries. But they say it's like doing 1,500 sit-ups. But it's working on four AA batteries. Let's do some math. Do you think there are 1,500 sit-ups inside four AA batteries? Do y'all want to know how you do a sit-up? You sit up! But I'm telling y'all, out of all the shows on television, my favorite, if it comes on, I'm watching it. It's National Geographic or the Discovery Channel when they do that Predator show. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. That's when the cheetah is chasing the gazelle out there in the African Serengeti in slow motion. Man, is that cool or what? Now, my wife is a big animal fan. My wife was Mrs. Ohio. She actually went to Mrs. America. And so if you know anything about the pageant industry, in the pageant industry, you have to have a platform, right? You have to have something you believe in. You have to have a cause. My wife's was the Humane Society and Animal Rescue. All of our dogs are rescues. My wife has literally held gala fundraising events to raise $30,000, you know, so a poodle, you know, could get a new eyeball. It's crazy. You think I'm playing? If she were here tonight, and we all ran across the street, and someone ran a red light and hit you and a squirrel, she'd go the squirrel first. You'd be bleeding out of the side of your face. She'd be like, it's fine, I called an ambulance. Come on, buddy. We went out on our first date. I wish I could make this up. This is real. This happened. We're on our first date, trying to make a good impression, getting to know each other a little bit. Took her out to the sushi place because I like sushi. It's all bougie and upscale. We're all dressed up. It's really nice. Right? First date. Looking across the table at her, I see she's got on this little pendant. It's got a little diamond doggy bone. It's like a little doggy bone in diamonds. A little locket. I said, oh, that's cute. She says, that's my dog, Callie. I said, oh, like a little remembrance? She's like, no, it's my dog. I said, oh, you mean like a little keepsake? She's like, no, it's my dog. I said, oh, you mean it's like a little memorial? She's like, no, her ashes are in there. The dog's ashes were in the pendant. We're streaming this, right? She's a psychopath. I should have saw the crazy right there. But I married her anyway.
When we got married, she had three dogs. Guess what? Now I got three dogs. You know how that trash goes. How many of you know that are married? What's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. Would you take it? How many know if you're going to married, and one day some of you single are going to get married, you can't say, I love all this over here, I don't like that over there, right? You got to take it all. So she had three dogs. Now I got three dogs. We've been married, y'all, 90 days. This happened. This is a real story. I'm not embellishing one bit. This is real. We've been married 3 months. We're still floating around in our cloud of love. You know what I'm saying? We're in a honeymoon phase. We're still sharing food. You know that trash changes, don't you? Remember when you were dating? Want some mine? Want some mine? Want some mine? Be married 10 years. Back off! You want to lose an arm? That's yours. This is mine. I ordered this. We've been married 90 days. I came home after 90 days, and I come inside, and one of the dogs got sick. It's weird. Went outside. Its eyes turned yellow. Start eating rocks. It was weird. I came in. I was like, yo, the dog is sick. She goes, oh, my goodness. We need to go to the doggy hospital. Okay, I didn't even know there was a doggy hospital. I knew there were veterinary clinics. I knew there was like 24-hour emergency veterinary care. No, guess what, a husky? In Dallas, there's a hospital for dogs. I walked in, and they're on crutches walking by like this. They're spinning by on wheelchairs like this. I'm walking past rooms. They're laying in bed with IVs and monitors. I'm like, what is going on? Doctor came in and said, Mr. Ruin, he goes, your dog is eating rocks, obviously, because he's trying to throw up. He said, and his eyes have turned yellow because he has liver failure. And I was like, well, there's that. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, seriously? He said, but no worries. He said, we have a private suite for your dog. I can't make this trash up. He said, we have a private suite for your dog. We have a nurse on call 24/7. We're going to do five blood transfusions, and then tomorrow we're going to do a surgery, blah, 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 all this other medical mumbo jumbo, and this brother comes over and hands me a bill for $10,000. And I looked at him, and I was like, is that like Mexican pesos, or is that like U.S. currency? I don't understand. I said, $10,000? I looked at him, and I was like, bruh, I can go to Walmart and get a $5 bullet, and we can take care of this right now. Oh, shut up, people! Who grew up old school? Holler at me. Come on. Exactly. And we all know what old school was. Old school meant when the dog got sick, dad or granddad took that thing out back and said, bang! He might have even went gangster and turned it sideways. Ka, 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 like that. And then smacked it in the face with a shovel. And we were devastated. Ha, 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 ha. And then he brought home a new puppy. We were like, puppy, yay, yay, yay. What was his name? Not even cold yet. Can't remember his name. Puppy, yay, yay. Do we have any hunters in here? Hunters, wave at me. Do we have any hunters? All right, cool. Big fat waste of time. I hate hunting. I hate it. I know that's a strong word. I hate it, though. But listen, hear me out, but I can't stand it. It's not because I wouldn't shoot a deer. I'd shoot a deer in the face. I'd shoot a deer right in the face. Some of you are like, don't shoot it in the face. You couldn't mount it. Absolutely, I'd mount it with half a face. It'd be awesome. That way when at parties, I could go, check it out, I got it right in the face. I'd shoot a family of deer and sleep well. Want to know why? Deer chili and deer jerky for a year, boom. I think we've established I'd shoot a deer. I'd pop a deer and not lose a wink of sleep. I don't like deer hunting because I have been hunting about 14 times and I've never seen a deer. I don't even think they exist. I think it's a conspiracy and they're liars, all of them. You're like, no, we were driving to church tonight. We saw about 12 of them out on the side of the highway. You thought you saw 12 on the side of the highway. It's probably one of them styrofoam things you get at Cabela's or Bass Pro. And people promised me deer. They promised me deer. We're going to go out there and see so many deer. We're going to see a herd of deer. I shot one out of the back of my truck just 2 weeks ago. They come out in our yard every single morning. We feed them right off the back of our porch. We get them all the time. They promised me deer, and we go out and see no deer. None. Zero. Nada. You know what we do? We freeze our buns off and shoot cans off a log at the end of the day. So I'm on TBN.
I'm on TBN. There's a show on TBN called Praise the Lord. I was doing it with Pastor Rod Parsley, World Harvest Church, Columbus, Ohio. Great man of God, great friend, great church. I was joking around with Pastor Rod, like I am right now, so don't send me any email. And I was like, yeah, that deer hunting, blah-de-blah. Yeah, deer are fake, blah-de-blah. That's fake. It's a conspiracy. There's no such thing as deer, blah-de-blah. Y'all ready for this? A pastor in Northwest Arkansas called our offices on the phone 7 days later, and the dude had a chip on his shoulder. You can hear it on the phone. Dude had a chip. He's like, I want to talk to Pastor Mike Rowan, just like that. I want to talk to Pastor Mike Rowan. So they got me on the phone. I was like, hello? He goes, is this Pastor Rowan? I said, yes, sir. He goes, this is Pastor so-and-so, and I'm in Bentonville, Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, and we want you to come to our church and do a revival. And I was like, Pastor, that sounds cool. Let's make it happen. I'll get you with my team. We'll set it up. He goes, and you need to come in a couple of days early. And I was like, okay, well, evidently, church, in Northwest Arkansas, there's very good white-tailed deer hunting. There's good turkey hunting. So I flew in to Northwest Arkansas in December. I flew in right in the middle of deer season. I didn't know that because I've never seen a deer. Pastor's outside. The brother's all bowed up. He's like, how you doing, Brother Michael? Like, I'm walking. He's on the curb. How you doing, Brother Rowan? Just like that. I said, how are you? He goes, we're glad you're here. I said, well, I'm glad I'm here too. He goes, we're going to have a powerful time. I said, I believe that with all my heart. He goes, we're glad you're here, Brother Michael, a couple of days early. I said, you know what, man? I'm so glad you just brought that up, because I've been wondering for about 6 months why you wanted me here 2 days early. He goes, because we're taking you deer hunting. Okay, he saw the show on TBN. He got totally offended, and now he's going off. He's like, we're going to take you deer hunting. We're going to see herds and herds of deer. You're going to see so many deer, your head's going to swim. I said, really? I said, how do you know we're going to see deer? He goes, we got deer feeders out there. He goes, and we got deer corn out there. He goes, and there's rubbins. I was like, what? He goes, there's rubbins. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, they rub their horns. I was like, rubbings? I don't speak hillbilly. You're going to have to talk English because I don't speak hillbilly. So I don't know if you guys knew that, but that's what the deer do. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know that? That's what they do right there. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know? Did y'all know what they do that? Here in a husky? That's what they do right there. So hunters will tell you, if you go out in the woods and there's no bark and it's smooth, deer have been coming up and rubbing their horns. So he's like, we got deer feeders out there. We got deer corn out there. There's rubbins out there. We're going to see a herd of deer. So we got up the next, not even going to call it morning because it was stupid. It was 3 o'clock. That is not morning at all. I had to wake up the Lord. Can you believe that? Jesus, let's go. We're going hunting. If you have to wake up before 5, it's just stupid, and that's what you ought to say. What time did you have to wake up from work? 4:45, stupid. It was really early. So now we get up. It's like 22 degrees. It's freezing. We get out there now. Now it's about 6 o'clock, stupid, and the sun was just starting to come up. It's not up yet because it's not morning. So we get out there, and man, I'm telling y'all, they hooked me up. Church, they hooked me up. It looked like a Duck Dynasty starter kit. It was ridiculous. I had camo shoes. I had camo pants. I had a camo jacket. Y'all, they gave me. The church gave me. They didn't lend me. They gave me that weekend as a gift. A Remington Woodsmaster 30-06 had hollow point shells, $1,000 scope, this beautiful weapon. So we get out there. Now it's like 6:15, stupid. And I got my gun, and let me tell you what, man, I got the camo shoes, I got the camo pants, I got the camo jacket, I got the mud on my face, the branches sticking out of my head. And the pastor comes over with this little yellow bottle of liquid. I said, what's that? He said, that's your deer urine. I said, what do you do with that? He goes, just spray it on you. And I went, I'm not putting deer pee on me. He goes, well, they'll catch your scent. And I said, well, it's Versace, and that's what they're going to smell, because I'm not putting deer pee on me. See, because his philosophy was a deer a mile and a half away was going to catch a downwind and smell me. Yet National Geographic can go out in the middle of the African desert. Well, there's nothing but rhinoceroses and dirks, and they're pulling out cables and boom microphones and cameras. Don't you think that tips the deer off a little bit? I'm in Northwest Arkansas. It's 625 stupid in a tree covered in deer pee-pee, and they take a whole television crew to Africa. Have y'all seen the gazelles with the curly little horns, man? They're fast little boogers. Surely the head gazelle calls them all together for a meeting. Surely, like, the president of the deer go, hey, guys, pack it in. You saw National Geographic. They're filming that show again, so obviously some of us are going to get it today. So stay in the oval formation that we talked about. All you deer, pack it in nice and tight. There's strength in numbers. If we all stay together in one big unit, we'll all be fine. But nope, there's always that one stupid one got to go walking out by himself. And man, that is when it is on like Donkey Kong. Does that cheetah get on a bullhorn and announce his arrival? I'm going to eat you. No! What's that thing do? It gets down in a crouching position. You've seen it. Gets down in a crouching position. Because the cheetah is trying to teach her little, you know, her little, you know, cheetettes how to hunt. Cheetettes. Stop. So the cheetah gets in that tall grass. You've seen it. All of a sudden, it'll crouch down, and all its muscles will ripple out, and it gets that little faux hawk, you know, that fur just comes up on the back of its neck, and all of a sudden, it crouches, and it waits. It waits till that one deer gets all alone, all away from the security of the pack, all vulnerable, and it crouches down, and it waits till the last moment, and all of a sudden, it pounces, and you've seen it. They always show it in slow motion. They get to 40, 50, 60, 70, 1 mile an hour, and all of a sudden, that gazelle will zig when it should have zagged, and that cheetah will hit that back hoof, and it rolls over in a cloud of dirt, and it latches onto its throat, and it shakes a little bit, and that thing's struggling to try to get away, and it shakes a little bit more, and it waits till there's not 1 ounce of fight left in that thing, and then there come all those little baby cheetahs, and they're all pulling on it and tearing it apart and wishboning on it, and there's blood everywhere, and you say, man, that is nasty. But when I read Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, that's what I see. That sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you, but you must master it. And the reason some of you in here tonight can't be casual about holiness is because sin is not casual about getting you. It desires to have you. Do you think this is a, y'all think this is a game? Do you understand if the devil could come in here and drag your soul to hell tonight, he'd do it. If the devil could, there wouldn't be any, you think there'd be any second choices, second chance? You think there'd be any grace? You think the enemy would come in here tonight and go, well, you know, ever since, you know, the internet and pandemic, you know, you've been coming to church, you know, a lot less, and you've been online, and, you know, and your Bible reading, a little sketchy, and your prayer life, you know, has been a little, we'll cut you some slack. No, if the enemy could come in here and drag you to hell tonight to burn forever, he'd do it in a second. Why? Because he hates you. And he hates your marriage and your future marriages. He hates your friends. He hates your family. He hates everything that is near and dear to you. Sin is crouching. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must what? Master. Come on, you must what? Master. That means you've got to take authority over everything in your life that has had authority over you. Did you hear what I just said? You must take authority over everything in your life that has had authority over you. Everything that slipped you up, tripped you up, messed you up, you got to master it. I had a guy come into my office one time during the Brownsville revival, and he was one of those noodle spine Christians. You know what I'm saying, Pastor? He was one of those, he'd come to church for a little while, then he'd go get kissy face with the world. We talked about it, you know, last night and today. And he'd come to church, he'd get serious for a little while, then he'd go get kissy face with the world. And then he'd come for maybe a couple of months, and, you know, and then he would just go. He could never, as my Aussie buddies would say, he could never go full on. He never gave God 100%. He always had to return to the vomit of his sin. And he came to my office sometime, and he said, Pastor, he said, you talk about this thing called holiness. How do I do the right thing? How do I do the godly thing when I just don't feel like doing it? He said, you know, how do I do the live a life of holiness when I just don't feel like it? And with all the love, you know, I had in my heart, I said, well, you do it. But you know what? Wimps don't like hearing answers like that. But the enemy's not wimpy about coming after you, so my aggression for God cannot be wimpy. Come on, somebody, make some noise in this room. With all the energy that the enemy's coming after you with, you got to quadruple that in your passion in which you go after God. Holiness is not for wimps. Holiness is not for people that have no back. But listen, if you just go to church once a week and you just shake a couple of hands and say a few amens and drop in your little tithe and you walk out and Monday through Saturday, your life and your decisions and what you do and say don't reflect what you say you are in here on Sunday, you're a hypocrite and a liar. That's right, I said it. Holiness is about making a difference wherever you are. And the only reason that I am not a more godly man than I am today is some days when I wake up, I don't put on my game face. Do you know what a game face is? Well, Virginia didn't have it last night, I know that. I hate Tom Brady. Can we talk about this for a second? I can't stand Tom Brady. I can't stand him. I know it's a strong word, but I got to talk about it for a second. Can't stand Tom Brady. I got a lot of reasons. I could go all night. But I'm just going to give you three. I can't stand Tom Brady. Reason number one, he's good looking. He's very attractive. I just want to punch him right in his face. I went to the Kentucky Derby a couple of years ago. I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Kentucky Derby, but it is probably one of the most extravagant, opulent displays of wealth I've ever seen in my life. But I was talking with a pastor friend of mine. His name's Pastor Ronnie Harrison. He pastors the Kingdom Center. He used to be with Rod Parsley. Now he's got a great work in Louisville, and the church is exploding. I go every year. So he called me. He's like, hey, Pastor, I want you to come in. I'm doing a sermon called The Wild Ones. He said, you're the first person I thought of. And I said, cool. I said, I'll check out the flights. Now, you guys need to know, flights pretty much anywhere in the U.S. I fly over 150 flights a year, fly all the time. So most flights, on the low end, about $300. On the high end, maybe $600, $700. Average, anywhere from $375 to $425. If you get in the twos, you should consider yourself blessed. So, you know, about $300 to $400, right? I fly to Louisville every year. I checked on the flights. They were $4,000. And so I called the pastor and I said, Pastor, I hate to tell you this, but the ticket is $4,000. I'm waiting for him to freak out. He's all relieved. He goes, whoa, you got a deal. Okay, let's go ahead and book it. And I was like, okay. I said, bro, can you explain? He said, Pastor, he said, the weekend we're asking you to come in is the Kentucky Derby. He said, you have to understand, it'll be $1,000 a night for a Hampton Inn. He said, all hotels, parking, everything is quadrupled 8, 9, 10 times. And so he said, book it. So I flew in there, right? I'm there on Saturday. He goes, hey, Pastor, have you ever seen the Kentucky Derby? I said, you know what? I've never seen it. He goes, well, we don't have great seats, but I have a hookup, and we're going to get you in. He said, not great seats, but at least you'll get to experience the Kentucky Derby. I was like, cool, that's fine. So get in there. They gave me tissue, like a box of Kleenex, with my tickets. I didn't understand why until I got to my seat, where I was bleeding out of my nose because I was I got these binoculars. The horses look like little ants coming down the track or something like that. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there. I'm way up Nowheresville. And all of a sudden, my phone, ring, ring, ring. I look down. Pastor Jeff Bullard, pastor friend of mine in Indiana. Pastor's a great church. But his side hustle, ready for this? He runs camera for NBC Sports. So he does the Super Bowl. He does the entire season for Notre Dame football games. And he said, Pastor Michael? I said, what's up, man? He goes, are you at the Kentucky Derby? I said, I am. He said, bro, look down at the track. I looked down. Brother's like, he's running camera at NBC Sports for the Kentucky Derby. Next thing I know, I got on platinum VIP. I'm sitting in a $50,000 box. I could see the mud flying up all over their hooves. And there's Tom Brady with his little cleft chin. I want to punch him right in the face. I took 5 minutes to get to that joke right there. Reason number two, because he's a billion, gazillion, quadrillionaire. Reason number three, he's got 7 Super Bowl rings.
I remember when Tom Brady got his first Super Bowl. Everybody was like, you know what? That young man is the greatest of all time. I'm like, you know what? Shut that mouth of yours. You're ugly. Turn around and leave. Then he won a second Super Bowl. Everybody was like, Tom Brady, he's the greatest of all time. He is the GOAT. I said, you know what? I'm not even going to take air and that out of my lungs to breathe and have this debate with you, you Facebook theologian. Then he won a third Super Bowl ring. Tom Brady's the GOAT. Like, he's not the GOAT at all. And you know what? You are a third class, class D, underachieving U.S. citizen. Turn around, get away with me, and you got B.O. Then he won a fourth Super Bowl ring. Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. He's not the greatest of all time. He is pretty good, but he's not the greatest of all time. Then he won a fifth Super Bowl ring. Tom Brady's the GOAT. I'm like, we should probably talk about it, you know? You never know. Then he won a sixth Super Bowl ring. Everybody was like, tell you why Tom Brady is the GOAT. Tell you why Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. Because he's on that red, white, blue New England Patriots team. All those superheroes on the team. If you take him on, put him on the scrub team, then see what happens. Then he went to a scrub team. They would have never in the natural born wildest dreams ever went to the Super Bowl. And in his first season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, goes all the way to the Super Bowl and wins number 7. You do know at that time, Tom Brady was 44 years old. You do know in regular human years, that's like 112. You, right? Do you know what the average career in the NFL is? Y'all ready for this? The average career from beginning to end is 7 years. 7 years is the average NFL career. Tom Brady at 44 years old was in his 23rd season in the NFL. He's almost 45, almost a quarter of a century into his career. You got these dudes coming out of college. They're 21, 22, in the prime of their life. Testosterone is oozing out of their eyeballs. They're 400 pounds and can run the 30-yard dash in like 2 seconds, and they're slamming into his geriatric body. That's right, I said it. I don't care if you like Tom Brady. He's the greatest of all time. He is the greatest football quarterback of all time. Why? Not just because of 7 Super Bowls, but because every single time he put that helmet on and walked out onto the field, he made himself and everybody on that football team better. Every time he walked out on the field, he put his game face on. Again, you know what a game face is? A game face is saying, hey, I'm not here on some picnic in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean serious business. And the only reason that Michael Christopher Rowan is not a more godly man than I am today is some days when I wake up, I don't put on my game face. Is that your fault? No. Is that Jesus' fault? No. It's my fault. And I'd be doing a disservice to this evening. I'd be doing a disservice to my ministry. I'd be doing a disservice to your pastors and to the Father. And I'd definitely be doing a disservice to all of you in this room tonight if I didn't ask you before we're done one probing, penetrating question. How is it between you and God? That's it. You notice I didn't ask you, how much do you pray? I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you how much you read your Bible. I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you, how much do you give? How much do you tithe? Do you give offerings above and beyond the tithe? I didn't ask you any of those things. I didn't ask you about your church attendance. I'm asking all of you right now, from the front to the back, what is the spiritual temperature of your relationship with the Lord? People think that they know Michael Rowan. It's funny. They don't know me, Pastor. They know the guy on TBN and Daystar. They know the guy on YouTube. Hey, Pastor Michael, I saw you sing the national anthem in Madison Square Garden. Wow, what was it like? They don't know me. Pastor Michael, I saw you with T.D. Jakes and Joyce Myers. I saw you with John Hagee. I saw you with Perry Stone. I saw you with Paula White and Juanita Bynum. What was it like? They don't know me.
Pastor Michael, what was it like with the Brownsville Revival and seeing people wait 17 hours and lines that were a mile long? They don't know me. They know that guy. They know the Michael Rowan on TV. They know the Michael Rowan on those DVDs out there. They don't know me. They don't know that I was sexually promiscuous when I was 11 years old. Can you imagine? 11 years old. I've got a daughter that's 22. She's a youth pastor in Colorado Springs, Colorado. But she used to live in a little town called Mitchell, Nebraska. It would make a Husky look like New York City. There's no restaurants. There's nothing. There's no theaters. There's no bowling alleys. There's no grocery stores. There's nothing. There is a gas station and a Subway, and that's it. They still walk home from school. Are you ready for this? There is still a kid that rides a bicycle and throws newspapers on people's front porches. You know, like one of those little pleasant leave it to beaver towns that time forgot, even though it's modern day. She called me on the phone one night, and she was so excited. She goes, "Daddy, guess what?" I said, "What is it, sweetheart?" She goes, "There's a kid on the football team. His name is Zach, and he's the quarterback, and he's a senior." And she was just a freshman. And, you know, that's a big deal to someone in high school, a senior that's a star quarterback, likes you, and you're just a ninth grader. She goes, "His name is Zach, and he's going to walk me home from school tomorrow." And I said, "Well, sweetheart, that is incredible." I said, "Is he a Christian?" She goes, "He sure is, Dad." She goes, "He leads a fellowship of Christian athletes at the school, and he does a big C at the pole rally every September, and his mom and dad are leaders in their church. He's going to walk me home from school tomorrow." And I said, "Well, Camry, I think that is amazing." And she goes, "Dad, guess what?" I said, "What?" She goes, he might hold my hand." And I remember thanking God that I had a 16-year-old in this day and age that was giddy about the possibility of a boy holding her hand. I was 5 years younger than she was, already having sex, and she was getting butterflies over the possibility of a boy holding her hand. 11 and 12 years old, drugs, alcohol, pornography. I could not go 48 hours without masturbating to pornography. And I know some of you are like, "Oh man, I can't believe you just said that. I'm so sick of us being able to talk about it everywhere else, and we can't talk about it in church." I'm not embarrassed to tell you that that sin had me in its grasp. You want to know why? Because he set me free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't have to be embarrassed about anything. It's not what you know, it's what I know that matters. And God said, "Michael, I want to set you free from pornography." I went to Bible college. I shouldn't have even been there. I wasn't even saved. I don't know, I thought it was rehab. Academic probation, disciplinary probation, chapel probation, Central Bible College. This is before it was Evangel University. And they kicked me out. And I came home. And I started a fast-paced, fast-lane life of sin and debauchery. And I know some of you are going, "Oh, Brother Michael, you don't have to tell any of us this in here tonight because we're all saved." Oh, really? Really? Don't be ill and naive. No, seriously, man. I mean, you saw this morning, place was wall-to-wall people. But those are the people that, you know, are just checking it off, the Sunday morning crowd. You know, those are the tire kickers. You know, those are the ones that are just kind of going through the motions. But this is Sunday night. We don't even have church on Sunday night. This place is comfortably full on a Sunday night. And we don't even have church on Sunday nights. Obviously, everybody in this room right now is a Christian. Really? You're going to tell me everybody in this room right now? You're going to tell me I could go all the way back here to the cheap seats? And you're going to tell me every one of you in this room, "Oh, we're all just saved and fasting and in the Word of God and in prayer"? I know exactly who's in this room right now. Because the story that I'm telling you right now, I was in church leading worship for my dad. Please don't think the story I'm telling you right now was some, rebellious time where I was just kind of flipping God off, doing whatever I wanted to do. I was in church every week leading the worship for my father. I could quote you the scriptures. I could talk the talk. I did not know him in a personal way.
And me and a group of young men in that church had everybody fooled. We had everybody fooled. We had the pastors and the deacons and the elders and the board and the congregation. They were all fooled. We had them so bamboozled. They thought we were these young men, and even a couple of girls in the church. They thought we were these young, upstanding leaders in the church, blazing a trail and setting an example. Please. I knew every bar, I knew every bartender, I knew every bouncer, I knew every door guy, I knew the clubs, I knew where to get the pills, the powder, the weed, the potions. You know what we do? We go break into cars and we break into houses. I can tell you right now what cars are the easiest to break into. I can tell you what to use. I can tell you where on a window is the easiest for the whole window to shatter. And we would bust into houses and cars, and we'd steal things, and we'd go to the pawn shop and we'd pawn it all off. We'd get a couple $1,000 and we would divvy it out to all of our friends. Here's a couple hundred for you. Here's 500 for you. 500 for you. Here's 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, 2,000. And we would go to the club. We would make it rain, and we would buy drinks for everybody. Everybody wanted to be around us. We were the life of the party. You know what the goal was? You know what the goal was? Go into a club, go into a bar, and find the prettiest girl in that place. Find the prettiest girl in that place and get, I don't know, 4 or 5. Hey, maybe if I'm lucky, 9 or 10 shots down her throat, where she's so hammered she didn't even know her first name or how to spell it, and take her somewhere and sleep with her and kick her to the curb. You think I cared about her? You think I cared about her virtue or her integrity? Do you think that I cared that I was most likely sleeping with someone's future wife? Do you think that I cared that I was taking something from her that she could never, ever get back? Want to know why? Because it was all about myself. All about pleasing myself. And one night we went to a party, and it was Sodom and Gomorrah in 5,000 square feet. They were literally having sex in every room of the house, and there was glow sticks and sweaty bodies all over the dance floor and twerking all over the place, and people and loud music and people smoking weed and popping pills, sex everywhere. And we walked, and we were smoking and we were popping pills and we were drinking. And I'm not talking about a couple of beers. We were getting down. Oh, Pastor, come on now. This is church. You don't have to get so specific. You know what? I think that I will. You want to know why? Because I'm tired of the devil coming to steal and kill and destroy. I'm sick and tired of any one of us right now. We could all get in our cars right now, and we could go to the big cities in North Carolina. Oh, and you know what you'd see? You'd see the adult bookstores, and you'd see the adult toy stores, and you'd see the gentlemen's clubs. Newsflash, there's no gentleman in those buildings. And you would see the billboard, and there she is. Oh, she's spilling out of her dress, and it's slid up to here. And she's Botox and implants and Photoshopped and holding a bottle of a Grey Goose. Oh, it's a wonderful life. They don't show you the alcoholic with his head hung over the toilet. They don't show you the guy that's disintegrated his marriage, and he can't see his kids, and he can't hold down a job. Want to know why? Because he's a drunk. That's reality. I'm so sick of these shows. I'm so sick of these shows. Pastor Joy, I see Christians get on their social media. Oh, we just binge watch 7 seasons of Empire. Oh, we just watched Scandal. Did anybody see Game of Thrones? Oh my goodness, I can't stop. I've watched for 7 nights in a row that House of the Dragon. Oh, and I watched Euphoria. And they're all jumping in and out of bed with one another. There's never any consequences to pay. They don't show you the syphilis or the chlamydia or the genital warts or the herpes or the AIDS or the gonorrhea or the unwanted pregnancy. Why? Because the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. I remember I Love Lucy. Anybody remember that? I Love Lucy, black and white. Ricky and Lucy were married on the television show, and they wouldn't show them in the same bed. Lucille Ball got pregnant in real life. You can Google it. It's a fact. The television network would not show her pregnant belly on the television screen. They cut way up here because they said showing her pregnant belly was too risque. This is 2024. You'd be a 16-year-old girl, spread your legs and drop your pants and get your own show on MTV. That's the kind of world we live in. And if that's too crass for you, I said it anyway. So it wasn't a couple of beers. It was cheap
Junk, Mad Dog 2020, Tiger Rose. It was Southern Comfort and Everclear and 151. I'm talking about 180, 190 proof stuff that'll kill you. And we're drinking and smoking weed and beautiful women coming up and propositioning us for sex. You want her? Oh, you want me? Oh, you want both of us? Hey, let's all three go upstairs right now and we'll fulfill any fantasy you've ever had. And all of a sudden, before I knew it, I had 7 times the legal limit of alcohol in my bloodstream. I was told later I could have drank myself 6 feet under the dirt, and the whole room began to spin. And literally, I could feel it coming over here on the left side of my temple. And all of a sudden, I started throwing up. I'm profusely vomiting. I'm vomiting all over myself, all over my clothes, all over the dance floor, and my friends. You know, these are my friends. These are my peeps. These are my boys. This is my crew. We go get money together. We go rob people together. We go to parties. We go get girls together. These are my boys. They've got my back. They started pointing their finger at me, and they're all pushing each other over and laughing at me. And before I knew it, I became the entertainment for the party. And I got so much vomit lodged in my throat that I couldn't breathe. And my friend, who is now a believer, praise God for that, who lives not too far away in Norfolk, Virginia, last year, I got to have lunch with him. And Pastor, we were talking about that night. He said, Michael, he said, I swear to you, it looked like you had swallowed a baseball. And he said, I was literally with my fist punching you in the front of the throat, trying to loosen up all this vomit. And before I knew it, my eyes spun up in the back of my head, and whoop, boom. I passed out laying in a puddle of my own puke. And I woke up at 7 a.m. and there was no more beautiful women propositioning me for sex. And there was no more laughing. And there was no more music. And no more dancing. You see, the party was over. And I lie there in a puddle of my own vomit. I didn't have a comedy night. Nobody told jokes. I didn't have warm music in the background. I didn't have a comfortable pew to sit in. I sat there covered in the vomit of my sin. And at that moment, I looked up to God. And I said, God, there's got to be more to my life than this. I said, God, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a phony and I'm a fake. And I said, God, I remember saying these words, Pastor. I said, God, I know that your judgment has got to see me as so disgusting right now. But I am praying that your grace would see me as beautiful. And I said, God, I'm unworthy. I don't deserve it. I said, but God, if you'll take me back right now, I will go back to Bible college. I will pursue the call you put on my life. I said, I will try my very best to abandon the things of this world, and I'll give everything that I am to you. And can I tell you all, right there, his presence came down, and he washed me, and he cleansed me, and he saved me, and he gave me a brand new life. And since that day, I've never been the same since that day. Hallelujah! Do I still have bad days? Please. Do I still have actions and attitudes and thoughts that aren't real Jesus-like? Oh, hang around me for a couple hours. I'll be sure to disappoint you. But that day changed my life, and I promised the Lord for the rest of my days I would travel this globe and I would tell the truth. And I know some of you right now are going, that's right. That's right. Yes, sir, Brother Michael. You preach us the truth. You don't want the truth. You don't want the truth because the truth offends. This is 2024. Everybody's offended. Well, I'm offended. You're offended. How about that? Because one day I will stand in front of the Creator of all that there is, and I want to be able to look him in the face and say, God, I told them the truth. I didn't hold anything back, so here it is, and I'm done. What if the sky cracked open right now? What if the sky cracked open right now, and Jesus came cutting through the clouds, and simultaneously, millions of people all around the globe from every tribe and nation were caught up in the air and raptured to meet him in the sky. Would you go? Don't answer. It's rhetorical. Some of you couldn't answer out loud anyway. I'm just saying, are you sure? Because if you're not sure, you're not ready. What if your left arm got numb right now? What if your left arm got numb right now and it traveled up and exploded in the left side of your chest? And you were sitting with somebody and you said, something's not right. Oh, God. Boom. Pastor, you're just trying to scare me. Please, we haven't been scared in church in years. Pastors, I remember a day I was scared in church. I remember a day before churches got all cute and bragged that they had Starbucks in their lobby, or some pastor went on TV to talk about his new book he wrote more than he did about Jesus. I remember a day I was scared. I remember a day, and you might think I'm OG, I don't care. I remember a day a pastor would get up and go, I'm going to lose some families when I say this, and not going to be able to grow our church as fast as I want to when I say this, but I wouldn't be your pastor if I didn't tell you that there's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will go to that place. And I know some of you right now, I can feel it. Some of you are going, Brother Michael, how could a loving Heavenly Father send anybody? You send yourself. You send yourself to a place God never created for you. Don't hit me with that junk. It's by your own choices that you send yourself to a place God never created for you. So don't hit me with that trash. I'm talking to somebody who wants to live right in here tonight. So I'm asking you right now, your left arm got numb, it traveled up into your chest, and you looked at somebody you're with and said, babe, this is, something's not right. Oh, God, please. Boom. And you didn't have time to say your cute little prayer of repentance. You had an aneurysm, and you didn't have time to say your little 30-second, oh, wait a second, God, wait, I didn't mean any of those things, God, and I really did want to live for you. What if you didn't have time? You know that Bible that you have that you should read every day, and most of you don't? Do you know what it says? It says, for the time has come for judgment to begin where? In the house of God. You know what God said? God said in the last days, I'm going to start dishing out some judgment. And I'm not going to go to strip clubs. I'm not going to go to pornography stores. I'm going to start in my house. And the Bible says if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? May I translate? The Bible says if the Christians are barely getting in by the skin of their teeth, where's everybody else going to show up? You know that Bible that you should have that you should read every day and most of you don't? Do you know what it says? It says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many find it. But narrow is the way that leads to righteousness. And not many find it, but few. I find it interesting that there's a highway to hell, but a stairway to heaven. Makes you wonder about the traffic patterns, doesn't it? Can I give you the most terrifying scripture in your Bible? It's terrifying. There's not a horror movie that Hollywood could ever come up with that is more terrifying than the scripture I'm about to share with you. It should make every bone in your body be chilled to the core, because the Bible says many will say on that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Lord, now we did many wonderful deeds. Now, you know, we did that in your name, remember? Lord, didn't we cast out devils? Lord, we did that in your name. Don't let that scripture make you feel cute, because obviously that's church folks. Tell you what,
Go to the bars. They're not casting out devils. Go to strip clubs. They're not prophesying. I dare you to go anywhere in North Carolina where sin abounds. And I can promise you they're not doing wonderful deeds in the name of the Lord. So obviously that scripture is referring to people that thought that they were saved. And the Bible says that the Father will say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Get out! Get out!" Not a few will say that. The Bible says many. Well, thank you for coming, Pastor Michael. It's been an incredible night. Safe travels back to Dallas. But no, I'm just not really prepared to make a decision tonight. No, we're going to make one right now. No, seriously, Brother Rowan, I mean, you know, you give me a lot to think about. When I get home tonight, man, I'm going to get out a magnifying glass and I'm going to look at the condition of my heart and I'm really going to talk to the Lord. You didn't hear what I said. We're going to do it right now. Right now. Well, you can't make me do anything I don't want to do. You didn't hear what I said. We're going to do it right now. Want to know why? Because I'm about to give an altar call. And Pastor, I believe some will come. I believe some of you in the back, from the front, in the middle, in the side. I believe some of you will come. But here is the sad fact. Here's the sad fact. Some of you won't. You won't do it. I could sit here tonight for 30 minutes, and I could tear clothes off and rub ashes on my face and beg you to come down. And some of you, I think, will get it right tonight. But some of you just won't do it. You won't do it. You'll wait till this is over, and you'll turn around, and you'll leave. And if you've heard anything that I've said tonight, you better hear what I'm about to say. If you're here right now and you're not where you need to be with God, and I give this altar call and you don't respond, and then you turn around and you leave, guess what? You made your decision. So you are all going to make a decision tonight, whether you like it or not. Just depends on if it's going to be the right one or not. Well, Pastor, can you have everybody bow their heads and close their eyes, and you can say, you can slip up your hand? No. I can't do that either, because I'm sick of those pathetic altar calls too. Pastors, I gave them for years. They're pathetic. Want to know how they go? I got this on lockdown. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one talking, no one looking around. We're going to sneak a couple of people down to the altar. Not tonight. He spilled his blood out, and you can't walk 30 feet. Roman centurions were beating him with the flagrum, and they gave him 39 lashes. The reason it was 39 is because 40 or more they considered would kill a man. So Romans called 39 minus one. They called it the halfway death. His bowels were exposed, and they didn't want to walk up the Via Dolorosa because it was a long trek and the steepest street in Jerusalem. So their goal was to kill them on the court of the pavements, and this. Theologians say that the Roman centurion had to stop on the side that he began on and start beating the other side because there wasn't enough of his body left on the side that he began on to beat. And you want me to have everybody close their eyes? They stretched out his hands and they put 10-inch spikes bursting all the arteries and veins, and then they overlapped his feet, in stepped the sole, and took a 12-inch spike, and they picked up the cross and they dropped it to the ground, and the pain was so intense it ran down his arm into his lungs, causing massive diaphragm spasms, pinching off his lungs so he couldn't breathe. And you want me to have everybody turn on the lights? No, with no heads bowed and no eyes closed, and everyone looking around. Now, I wonder who could stand up for him then. I find out my altar calls are a lot smaller this way, but I find out they're way more genuine. Brother Michael, why do I gotta come down? I sing on the worship team. Why do I gotta come down? I'm on staff. Why do I gotta come down? People think everything is all right. Who cares what people think? And if you want to know why you got to come down, oh, you don't have to clap. This is just facts. You know why you got to come down? Because if you can't come down and get it right here, you'll never do it outside these four walls.
Can I love every one of you enough to tell you the hard truth? If you can't put aside your stupid pride and ego in a church in front of Christians, don't even lie to yourself to think that you could walk out of here and serve him outside in a world that hates him. If you can't do it in front of people that love him, what makes you think you could stand up for him in a world that hates him? And while I'm on a scripture roll, I'll give you my final one for the night. Jesus said, why you got to come down? He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. He said, but if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. Could you imagine the horror? Oh, God. Standing in front of eternity tonight. Somebody ran a red light and T-boned you. You had a cardiac arrest. You had something go wrong. You're not guaranteed your next breath. Most of you aren't guaranteed to wake up in the morning. Every day is a gift from God. And let's say tonight, that quick, you were standing in front of the throne room of heaven, and God looked down at his son and said, do you know them? Oh my God, the horror of Jesus looking over and saying, I've never seen them in my life. But the joy of your life being snuffed out tonight, and in the twinkling of an eye, the hosts of heaven, and God looks down at his son and says, son, do you know them? And Jesus walks over and puts his arm around you and says, dad, it was a Husky, North Carolina. It was 7:56 in the evening on February 3rd, a Sunday night. They stood up for me. I know who they are. And God's saying, well done. Well done. Enter into thy joy. Well done. Oh, my goodness, Pastor Michael, you've just blown it. You just told nobody to bow their heads. You told nobody to shut their eyes. You just told everybody to look around. You're about to give this altar call tonight. And what if nobody comes? You'll feel like such a fool. Give me a little bit more, Mike. Pastor, when I first started ministry, I felt like if I gave an altar call and lots of people came forward, I did really good. And if nobody came forward, I bombed. I've been so delivered from that. Because I will go back to my room tonight, and I'll fall asleep to go back to Dallas. But I'll call or FaceTime my father. My father and my mother are both 81. They just celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary, and they're still preaching the gospel to this very day. And I'll FaceTime my father. And you know what my dad won't say? He won't say, was it a big offering? My dad won't say, did you sell a lot of DVDs, t-shirts? My dad will say, son, did anybody get it right? Did anybody get it right? And I'll say, dad, it was an awesome night. And I'll fall asleep tonight and I'll have a smile on my face because I'll know that I said everything that I was supposed to say. Brother Michael, I go to church every week. It doesn't save you. I gave millions of dollars. It doesn't save you. I was dedicated when I was a baby. I'm delighted. It doesn't save you. I was baptized. It doesn't save you. I believe in Jesus. It doesn't save you. The book of Romans says it's with your heart that you believe, but it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. 1:30-second prayer and God forgives and forgets. 1:30-second prayer and the angels write your name in the Lamb's book of life. Do you hear me tonight? In a 30-second prayer, you can walk out of this building tonight saying, it is well with my soul, in a 30-second prayer. So if you're here tonight within the sound of my voice, I'm not going to snap my fingers. I'm not going to call up the worship team. We're not going to have a prayer team, and we'll have a little line and do a little Holy Ghost car wash. We're not going to play any of those stupid games. I'm not going to say, turn to the person next to you and say, if you need to go, I'll go with you. I don't play those stupid games. If I needed to get right with God, wild horses couldn't stop me from dumbing down here and getting right with God. And I certainly don't need someone to hold my hand. And so if you're here tonight, I don't care if it's a married couple, one or the other, both, senior citizen, grandchildren, single parent, single adult, young married couple, college student, high school student, from the front row to the back row, if you're here right now and you say, Pastor, please don't end this night without letting me say that prayer with you, I'll give you 20 seconds to come and stand here right now. 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, come all the way down. Come all the way down. 2, 1. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Pastor, we always look down. Look at me. You want to know why I don't want you to look down? Because my Bible says there now for what? No condemnation. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel bad about anything. Look at me. No condemnation. If I wasn't careful, I could be sitting down there or standing down there with you right now. Sweetheart, I love seeing all those tears. That just lets me know you're genuine. I see tears all over this room. That just lets me know you're genuine. I see young and old alike. And I say thank you for having the courage to do something that I would not do. I didn't say I couldn't do it. I could have. I just didn't. We're going to pray a prayer. Brother Michael, if I just repeat a prayer after you, does God really hear me? My Bible says, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. How many of you know when we come to Jesus in sincerity, he never turns his back on us. He's always faithful. He's always faithful. Some of you are praying this prayer as an act of rededication. Some of you are praying this prayer for the first time. I love them both. Why do we get all stoked about salvations and never rededications? I get excited about both. You want to know why? Because it's just one more soul that the devil can't have. Come on, somebody. One more soul that the devil can't have. I'm proud of you, bro. I watched you back there the whole night. I'm proud of you. So we're going to pray this prayer. Don't you mumble it. You say it loud and proud. Everybody in this room say, Dear Heavenly Father, I love you so much. And Father, I thank you for sending your son to take my place. Jesus, I'm not perfect and I make mistakes, but I come before you right now asking that you would cleanse me, wash me, purify my heart and my life, consume me with your presence, because I know that sin is crouching in my door. And it desires to have me, but I'm gonna master it. Now you say it loud. Say, devil, I take authority over everything in my life that has had authority over me. Enough is enough. It stops tonight. Devil, you lose, and I win. Father, thank you for hearing my prayers, for putting my name in the book. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, everybody said, somebody put your hands together. Come on. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. The angels are rejoicing. The angels are rejoicing. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Yeah. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Everybody look at me for a second. Look at me. I'm going to say this. Nobody said this to me, and I'm going to say it to you. The devil hates what just took place here. He hates what just took place here. And I want to just say congratulations. You all now have big bull's eyes on your heads. And there's been an APB put out in hell, and they're coming after you. You think I'm playing? And I used to say this. Pastor Joy, this is what I used to say.
I used to tell people, just like here, I'm going to tell you, I used to tell people, now you better watch out. Next week or two, he's coming after you. In the next week or two, you won't even get home. You think I'm playing? You're not even going to get to go home tonight and fall asleep, and he'll start. He'll start lying, because that's what he does. He's a liar. And you know what he's going to say? I love you, man. You know what he's going to say? He's going to say, you know that prayer you prayed with that handsome evangelist? I don't know if it's word for word, y'all. I'm just giving you a general idea of what he might say. No, seriously, he's going to say, you know that prayer you prayed with Michael Rowan? He's going to say, that didn't mean anything. He's going to say, you're nothing's different. You're the same person you've always been. I'm here to tell every one of you, everything is different. Everything is everything. And so when the devil, here, listen, when the devil starts lying to you, if he starts tonight, tomorrow, and next week, all I want you to say is, devil, I prayed it, God heard it, and that settles it. Come on, somebody. Devil, I prayed it, God heard it, and that settles it. Give him praise. Come on, come on. Let's join the angels. Let's join the angels. Hallelujah. If you have got a church, get in it. If you don't got a church, you got one now. Come on, somebody. There's people here that love you, care about you, want to walk out this journey with you. I promise you, if I live in a Husky, this would be my church. Would you just return to your seats real quickly, just for a second? Don't leave. They've locked the doors anyway. Just quickly, quickly, quickly. I want to say thank you to Pastor and the First Lady. Can you give it up for the host pastors tonight? They are awesome. And I just want to say thank you to them. Listen, he's crouching at your door in 2024. And so somebody in here tonight, I challenge you, take authority over everything in your life that has had authority over you. In a moment, Pastor's going to give you an opportunity to bless the ministry. And I know some of you are probably saying, well, I gave this morning. Well, you just ate again too. What's the name of that place at the golf place? Is it got a Beechwood? We ate at Beechwood today. What's a restaurant, if we want to call it that? What's a restaurant that's within a mile of here? Los Amigos? Would Pastor and I go to Los Amigos tonight and eat and then leave and not pay? We would never do that. Any one of you in this room tonight that have any character or integrity as a Christian, you'd never walk out of here and do that. But let's just say we did. Let's say Pastor and Joy and I went to Los Amigos tonight, and we ate, and then, dude, we just left. Can I tell you what they're going to do? I can tell you. It's not prophetic. It's just the truth. Our waiter or waitress is going to follow us out and go, whoa, excuse me, sir, excuse me. Pastor can't turn around and go, it's cool. We ate at Beechwood this afternoon. Paid there. You know what they're going to do? They're going to say, well, that was Beechwood, and that was lunch. They're going to look at him and go, this is Los Amigos, and this was dinner. And we all laugh, but Christians do it every Sunday. They go into church, they eat a wonderful meal, and then they skip out on the check. This is how I live. This is how I live. But somehow God always takes care of us, folks. If y'all would throw up the QR codes, I got a couple of QR codes. It'll go straight to our ministry if you want to scan that. Pastor, I'm sure, will tell you that you could give in this offering. Hey, I can swipe an offering at my table. Praise God for technology. Pastor, sometimes I get the Pentecostal handshake. Y'all know what those are? Because evangelists count on them. That's when somebody shakes your hand and there's a check there. This is a true story. I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, and a man came up to me after the service, Pastor. He shook my hand, and there was a check there, and he winked at me. And he said, Brother Michael, he said, I laughed so hard tonight, and then I had to turn around and repent in the same message. And he said, I not only gave my heart tonight to the Lord, he said, but my 75-year-old mom gave her heart tonight to Jesus for the first time. Come on, somebody, isn't that awesome? And he shook my hand, Joy, and he said, I just wanted to bless your ministry, and I think everybody should hear your voice. And I stuck it in my pocket, and I gave him a hug, and I said, thank you, man. Pastor, I went back to my hotel room. I was half asleep, and I thought, that's right. That dude, he blessed me. I went and opened it up. It's checked for $10,000. Almost passed out. So here's all I'm saying. If y'all think I flew to Raleigh and then drove 5-6 hours round trip between yesterday and tomorrow to get into your wallet, he is my source. He is my provider. But I know that sometimes he uses people. And my prayer tonight is, if God has touched you from this morning or tonight, would you sow a tremendous seed into the ministry so that we can continue to do what we do? This is how we do what we do. I love you. I covet all your prayers. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Michael and I taped a broadcast before the service tonight, and one of the things I said in there is that when Michael W. Smith wrote that song many, many years ago, friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And you know, it was not a mistake that Pastor Joy and I wandered into a church and met Michael Rowan. And we were sitting on the front row just like Pastor Joy is right now. And I turned to her and she turned to me. I said, what do you think? She said, let's do it. Let's do it. And that was on a Sunday night. Monday morning, I called him. I said, hey, man, I need you in Husky. Some of you may say, well, you know, it was pretty raw. We told you it would be, okay? But how many of you know we live in a very toxic world today that says anything they want to say, okay? Thank God for a voice in the earth today that's not afraid to say anything, especially the truth, because the truth does what? It sets people free. It sets people free. Sin is crouching at your door. And guess what? That was today. Tomorrow, you know what's going to happen? Sin will be crouching at your door. But if you could incorporate a lifestyle that makes a fresh reality of commitment every day to the things of God, when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the first thing you do is not a coffee or check the, you know, Fox News or whatever. But the first thing you do is just get alone with God for a few minutes and say, Lord, let's talk. Today I'm going to need you. I'm going out in a wicked world, a toxic culture, and I need your strength today. Go before me. Be my rear guard. Be the glory and the lifter of my head. Give me the courage to stand strong in the midst of all the toxicity that's in the culture. God will do that. Every day, a day of commitment. Every day, a fresh day of commitment. Today, Lord, I choose to serve you. So let's be a blessing to him. Let's be a blessing. It's a delight to sow into the ministry of what he's doing. And I thank God for you, Pastor Michael. How many of y'all would like to see him come back again someday? Come on. Amen. I think that's a win. Amen. So as we prepare our offering, there's buckets on the altar if you need to give by way of QR code or what have you. Some of you have the CSIC one. Do what you need to do. We're gonna take care of him. And I just appreciate you being here and appreciate the relationship. He and I have, let me tell you, great friend of his was just here just a few weeks ago. He's very good friends with Pat Slatshine. That was here just a few weeks ago. It's a small world. That's a small world, but thank you for, you better look, I agree. Praise God. So come and make your way. If you're giving them tangibly, if you're writing a check or whatever, you can write it to CSIC. That's fine. Let's bless him, okay? Let's bless him to the very best of our ability. You're sowing seed in good ground, very good ground. Amen. Thank you so much. Give joyfully, give cheerfully. Praise the Lord. Praise God. He's going to go outside to the table, and you can take some merch home tonight, T-shirts or DVDs or CDs or USBs or whatever you want to do. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Pray for us tomorrow. Our staff will be traveling to Houston. We'll be going to a conference that is held there for leaders. And we want you to pray for our safety. We'll be in Houston, Texas for 3 days, and then we'll return. And just pray for traveling mercies and safety. And be praying much for this month of March. This is Easter, y'all. It's Easter. More people are open to the gospel this month than they will be in any month of the year. Amen. Think about the concert. Denise, could you flash that up on the screen? In just a couple of weeks, on the 14th, on a Thursday night, J.J. Weeks, Sanctus Real, and Unspoken will be here. Seats are selling. Tickets are going. So get yours. Go ahead and make sure you get that. You can scan that QR code right there and your tickets right on your phone. So don't let it fill up and you miss out on that. And we appreciate you participating in those things. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you today. We thank you, God, for Michael Rowe and his ministry that not only touches the churches in America, but also touches the nations of the earth. Thank you for his connection with One Child that continues to work throughout the world, changing the hearts and the lives and the circumstances of a child at a time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go. Fellowship among yourselves as you leave. Y'all have a great week.